Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, listeners. Good evening. This is Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. Thank you so much for joining us for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. And I do see some new listeners hopping on. So if this is indeed your first time, thank you so much for taking out time of your schedule to tune in to us. For those who are not familiar, Walking Into a New Life is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year. And Boots on the Ground is just one of those extensions of what we do to contribute to our community to educate individuals about domestic violence, sexual assault, and other social causes that are important to you. So on this broadcast, you will hear from those who work in the trenches each and every day, some names you may be familiar with, while some others you may not. But together, collectively, around the globe, we are working diligently to bring about awareness and change in the issues that matter to you. And so this week, we have the pleasure of having someone that I've gotten to know over the years to just be so incredibly supportive of issues that concern our communities, not just with domestic violence and sexual assault, but just so many social causes. And retired Captain Benny Cobb is just one of those all-around good men that you can count on, and he's very professional and he's very knowledgeable, just very personal individual. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about him before I have him to come on. He is the founder of Eagle Eye Security and Training Services. He's a retired captain from the Shelby County Sheriff's Department, and he has an extremely extensive professional background, including work with the FBI, SWAT, Internal Affairs, Gang Unit, Department of Homeland Security. I mean, I could just go on and on and on, but we don't have enough time because this show is only 30 minutes, and his resume is just so impressive. So I want to introduce to some and present to others, none other than Captain Benny Cobb. So, Captain Cobb, welcome to the show.
Hello, Joyce. How are you? Thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate those kind words. Of course, I am so very fond of you and your family. I have gotten to know you all over the last several years. And I am always excited to be in the same room with you and on the same program with you and doing the work that you do. You've introduced me to another side of the law enforcement. For years, I was the one that did the investigations and prosecutions. And after I met you, I got more into the advocacy side, which is more important than the investigation because the advocacy side, I believe, can add a lot to preventing a lot of these crimes, especially the domestic violence and the sexual assault. So I am very honored to work with you, and I'm honored to be here today.
Well, thank you very much. I too, as I said in the beginning, it has really been my pleasure getting to know you, know your family, learn about your background, and you've introduced me to some communities that I had not previously had the opportunity to get to know. So we will definitely just decide this is a mutual benefit, and, of course, ultimately it is to help those who are transitioning from a state of victim to victorious. So I'm excited about it, and I want people to have a little more insight about who you are. So if you would just take a moment to share with the audience about how you came into the work that you do.
Well, Joyce, my story, my law enforcement story began about almost 35 years ago. And not knowing what I was getting into, I always knew that I wanted to get into law enforcement, but I had no idea that I would go to the depths that I did. Had a wonderful law enforcement career. And I say this, I say that to say this, that anybody can make it. If you strive, have a desire to do a certain thing, you can make it. I grew up in the Hurt Village Housing Projects, the oldest of nine children to a single mother. Unfortunately, mom passed here a couple of weeks ago to a strong single mother. And we had a foundation. She was our foundation that my sisters and brothers and I never got into any kind of serious trouble. But that gave me the opportunity to really get into what I really wanted to do, and that's law enforcement. I spent years investigating and chasing criminals. You mentioned some of the things that I'd done over my career. But my biggest passion was always giving back to the community. I had opportunities to get out. A lot of my friends did not. But I never forgot where I came from. And one of the things that I recognized and realized early on was that there was a lot of domestic violence in our community, in our neighborhood, but we did not recognize it as being domestic violence. It was just a norm, to be honest with you. The father would come home intoxicated, and everybody in the house would get beat. The children and the mother, or the girlfriend, or whoever, and we just thought it was the norm that on Friday or Saturday evening, the neighbors would be fighting and arguing and that type of stuff. So we thought it was the norm, and only when I got into law enforcement, and not just getting into law enforcement, because when I first got into law enforcement, domestic violence was a considered a victimless crime. It was a situation that law enforcement considered between a husband and a wife, and we would make a scene and say, "Hey, somebody needs to leave," and there was very little action taken. And only around the mid-90s did we really start really addressing the issue of domestic violence. And excuse me, I like to call it the O.J. law, because the O.J. Simpson incident actually started us nationwide to have taken a different look at the domestic violence. So I was on the forefront of getting that established for Memphis and Shelby County. And we started taking a different approach to it from the law enforcement perspective, not only law enforcement, but advocacies and preventions and those type things. And along come Joyce Kyle, who gave me a whole new perspective. Of course, I had since retired, and I knew what I knew as far as law enforcement was concerned. But the first time I heard you speak, and I say this all the time, Joyce, you gave me a new understanding of how serious and how widespread it is, and how much it's actually covered up under some other blanket other than domestic violence. So that's basically why I am where I am today as far as my focus on being an advocate for domestic violence prevention.
Well, Benny, thank you for just sharing and just being so kind in the things that you've said and shared with the listening audience, because I know you and I know you personally, and, you know, I want to take this time to say, you know, how sorry I am about the passing of your mother. Jason and I certainly extend our condolences to you as well as the entire Walking Into a New Life family, and I know how close you all were, how much you loved your mom, so I wanted to make sure I said that on air first and foremost.
Well, thank you very much.
And with regard to just a couple of points that I wanted to mention that you brought up, you know, a lot of times, even now with all that has taken place and the knowledge that people have about domestic violence, it's still oftentimes looked at as a victimless crime. And that's one of the things that, you know, I'm hoping that as we continue to do this work, that we will continue to change the minds and the perceptions of what domestic violence is and what it isn't, and impact that it has, not just on the individuals, the two individuals that may be involved, but the families and friends that are affected by it as well. And the last point before we switch gears that I wanted to mention is that you mentioned about the O.J. law. And for those who may not be aware, that is actually the Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA. I almost said it that way, and I know some people are not going to know what VAWA is. But the Violence Against Women Act of 1994 is actually part, by definition, is part of the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994. And for those, especially right now, they're actually just been showing the play-by-play breakdown of the O.J. Simpson trial. And that, of course, is when O.J. Simpson was accused and later acquitted of killing his wife, Nicole Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldberg. So that VAWA Act was put in place in 1994, and it has definitely served as a positive tool to help individuals to understand more about domestic violence and then being able to do something about it legally. So that for those who are not familiar, I just wanted to give that little bit of background. And I do see we have a few people who have just popped up. So for those of you who may be new to us, I'm Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. And you are joining us for our broadcast of Boots on the Ground. We're so pleased to bring this radio show to you each and every Monday from 5:30 until 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. So, of course, if you're on the East Coast, you're an hour ahead. If you're West Coast, you're a couple of hours behind us. But we love doing this and bringing this information to you all each and every week. We just ask that you continue to tune in and to share the information. And so now, Benny, because you did mention about what you do, and I talked about it earlier with law enforcement, I want to shift gears a little bit. Last week, I spoke about the shooting that happened in Orlando last week. And, of course, we had this particular broadcast planned well in advance. We, of course, you and I had no idea that that horrendous crime would take place. But because of your background and your expertise and your knowledge of guns and gun safety, I'm going to, at this time, just kind of turn the floor over to you and ask if you would share your thoughts about that incident and also to talk a little bit about, you know, gun control, gun safety, and some things that we can do because that is part of what you do with Eagle Eye Security.
Right, Joyce, I've been a certified firearms instructor and law enforcement instructor since 1988-89, so that's quite a long time. And I'm considered a firearms expert with different weapons. I train police officers and citizens on handgun safety and certification with different guns. That was the most unfortunate, tragic incident in Orlando last week, and of course they had a series of things going on with the alligator and the baby to the young lady that was on the Voice show getting shot and killed, and then this horrific incident at the nightclub. Guns, to be blunt, guns ain't going nowhere. Let me just say it like that. Guns are not going anywhere.
Right.
We may as well accept that fact. Now, I agree and I disagree with some of the legislation that the president and some of the other politicians are proposing. I agree that there need to be stronger background checks. I disagree that the gun is the problem. It's not the gun that's the problem. It's the person behind the gun. And whether it's a homegrown terrorism, a lone wolf attack, or just somebody that's low down and calculating that's want to do harm to citizens, it's going to happen, and unfortunately, there's nothing that anybody can do to stop it from happening. Maybe with the stronger background checks or mental evaluations, you can slow it down. But law enforcement, for the most part, is reactionary. They react to a scene after it's happened. There are not enough police officers to be everywhere. So from time to time, unfortunately, these type of incidents are going to happen. There's a call for people to arm themselves. I believe in the Second Amendment, and I believe that people should arm themselves after they're properly trained and have confidence with the weapon, that they should arm themselves. But even in that nightclub, a person armed with a gun would not have been able to prevent people from getting hurt. Of course, there was a gun-free zone where there were not supposed to be any guns on the property at all. So these things are going to continue to happen. And from my faith, I believe that prayer does work. However, there's nothing that our law enforcement is going to be able to do to prevent these type incidents. The prevention, the first line of prevention actually comes from the citizens. The law enforcement say, if you see something, say something. you want to try to do that to minimize the impact of the number of people that's getting injured and killed. And but from my experience, from my law enforcement experience, I don't see any way that you can fully prevent an incident like that from happening. You can't. It would never regulate who can get a gun or who has guns, and because you don't know what their intentions are once they get a gun. So the situation in Orlando in South Carolina last year this time was just very, very horrific. But I'm not one that calls for banning guns, or even when we talk about these AR-15s or these assault rifles. That's misinformation, because the same thing could be done with a handgun or a knife or somebody driving a car into a crowd of people. So the misinformation or the lack of knowledge of guns and the information that's being put out, does not serve the community well as far as putting out the adequate information. George, as you know, I have gun class from time to time, probably a couple of times a month, and I've done some studies and research on this. Very few people who are trained, who have handgun carry permits, who have some kind of background in carrying guns, very few people are committing horrific crimes. Now, we can have two trains of thoughts here. I believe that in Memphis, where we are speaking from now, there's been 106 homicides, and I believe at least 90, or maybe 95 of those was committed with guns, firearms. That's 95 firearm-related incidents. Well, we had one incident that was committed in Orlando last week, and I've had people in my class asking me, which was more horrific, 95 different incidents or one single incident that took 50 lives or so? You can't really say which is more horrific, because both of these incidents are horrific. But the 95 separate incidents, from the research I've done, the biggest majority of those incidents were done with people with no handgun training, no permit to carry guns, no training, and no conscience for killing people. Whereas the situation in Orlando, the young man had a handgun permit, he had a certification, and he had the same malice in heart in this one single incident. So how do you gauge what do you do about the gun violence in America?
Wow, very, very insightful points to be made. And you're absolutely right. It's hard to measure or even attempt to measure, you know, which one is worse. One of the things, though, I do want to point out is that, you know, as we mentioned here in Memphis specifically, a lot of those incidences that took place here were with people that knew the victims. They knew the victims. And,
exactly.
You know, that's why when you mentioned about having an understanding about, you know, guns and gun safety, who has them, when they use them, how they use them, all those things are relevant. But I do think that is one notable difference to make, is that this man just went on a tyrant based on a lot of hate and just killed a lot of people and wounded a lot of individuals strictly on hate. Whereas here in Memphis, you know, there's, of course, anytime you commit a violent crime like that, there's some degree of hate and lack of consciousness. But you're looking at a lot of these being intimate partners or individuals who knew each other in some varying degree. So that is one notable difference to make. Benny, I want you to share with the listening audience about Eagle Eye Security and how people can reach you, if you have any upcoming classes. You know, and just an overview of what you do in that training.
Well, Joyce, what we do at Eagle Eye Security Services, we provide a security services top of the line to clients. We provide security to churches. We've done for the past 8 years the Levitt Shield out of Overton Park. We've done work with the city of Lakeland, weddings at the Brooks Museum and some of the venues. We've had entertainers come in. One of the most notable was Maya Angelou. We had provided protection detail for her. And even back in the early 90s, Mrs. Coretta Scott King and Rosa Parks. So we provide a top-of-the-line security services, but on another level, I provide training for handgun carry, personal protection, law enforcement certification. And one of the things that I like to do, and I do this outside of my business, I do it as a community service, I try to introduce gun safety, understanding, and knowledge to young people. As I said before, I don't believe it's the gun. I believe it's the lack of understanding, the lack of knowledge, respect, and the lack of compassion and conscience on a lot of these young people that's using the gun or grabbing the gun to settle their differences without thinking about the consequences. So what I try to do is a community service, and I've actually approached the school system with having a gun training program for young people beginning in middle school, to have an understanding of gun safety, to have an understanding of the responsibility in having a gun. And I think, I truly believe that until you change the heart and the mindset of man, that the gun violence situation won't get any better. You can regulate guns all you want to, but until you can change the heart, the mental attitude about possessing and using a gun, until you do those things, the gun violence situation won't change. And so that's what we're doing at Eagle Eye Security Services. Not only are we a business that we provide services, but we also into the community trying to make sure that we are serving as a preventive measure, as a mentoring unit, and as somebody that wants to see violence decrease and the society to increase being productive members of society.
And Benny, how can individuals reach out to you if they need services, either for themselves and, you know, their personal training, or if it's having a need for your security services for their business, their organization, you know, protection detail? Just how can people reach you?
Well, we can our phone number, office phone number is 901-649-8539. And, of course, we're on Facebook, and we are right now, as we speak, redesigning our website because we're going into doing more active shooters training and more church security training. So we're redesigning the website, but the website should be back up before the end of the week. But feel free to call the office at any time at 901-649-8539. We provide personal training. We provide group training. And we also provide personal and group business security. We do business assessment, threat assessments, as well as a home threat assessments. So we're putting 30 years of experience, law enforcement experience, security training, putting that into play, and we're making a difference. We are engaged in the community. Eagle Eye Security Service is a part of the community, and we love to talk with you. If you just have a question, just call us and we'll talk with you.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. And before we end, I have a few last-minute things that I want to share with our listening audience about some of the things that Walking Into a New Life has coming up. So I want to make sure that our listening audience does stay on the line until the end of the broadcast. We have a couple of great things coming up, and I want to make sure that you are aware. But I want, right before we do that, then I just want you to take a minute or two and just share any last thoughts, anything that you wanted to share that may be on your heart. So just for the next minute or two, please feel free to share whatever you wish that you'd want the audience to take away.
Well, of course, I'm always, as a father, a grandfather, brother, I'm always concerned about the level of violence, domestic violence. Joyce, you mentioned earlier that a lot of the violence is being committed by people that know each other, two people that they know, and that's quite a concern. There's really nothing that can be done if don't nobody say something. If you see something, say something. If you suspect or believe that somebody is being abused, sexual abuse, a victim of domestic violence, call somebody. We have to get out of this old mentality we're snitching or we're getting into people's business. We need the community. We need the citizens. We need the families and friends to be concerned about each other. There's confidential lines that you can call. You don't have to identify yourself. But call somebody if you see a crime being committed, if you suspect that a young child is being abused sexually or physically, or if you suspect that your neighbor, your sister, or your brother, a male family member may be being abused. Call somebody. Only through the community interaction will the law enforcement be able to get a hand on some of this crime. And believe it or not, more than people know, most of the crime that's being committed involves domestic situations or some kind of drug or dependency. So those are some of the things that we have to impact and we have to be willing to get involved in and in some of the preventions and letting the law enforcement or the community advocates to know what's going on and maybe we'll be able to prevent some of these horrific crimes that's been going on in the first half of the year.
Captain Cobb, that was very well said and a great way to wrap up our interview because can't say it any better than that. See something, say something. You know, I'd rather that we find more people speaking up and speaking out than to remain silent because in that silence brews a lot of ill will and hatred and a lot of problems that can't be resolved because we don't have enough people who are speaking up and sharing and speaking out, and we let shame and embarrassment a lot of times keeps us from going forward. We let fear and, like you said, being a snitch keep us from speaking up. And, again, like you said, you can do a lot of this anonymously. You don't have to give your name, but you do need to give the information so that we as a collective unit can work together to make a real impact and a real change on these issues that continue to plague our community. So with that, I want to just share with our listening audience that Walking Into a New Life is still collecting old cell phones. We don't care if they're flip phones or if they're the i7, anything in between. That is perfectly fine. Doesn't matter if they are working or not. You know, they may have a cracked face. That's okay. It doesn't matter about the brand. You may have chargers, batteries, accessories. We are still collecting those. And we do this in an effort to be able to get all of those cell phones sent over to Verizon Wireless has a Hope Line initiative. And those phones are cleaned, refurbished in their program, and they're given to victims and survivors of domestic violence. So, again, the condition of them and the age of them and, you know, the brand, none of that matters. The idea is to make sure that we are doing our part to provide a tangible resource to victims and survivors of abuse. Also, I am still collecting the DV surveys. So if you are interested in taking the survey, it just takes just a few minutes, and you can remain anonymous. We're just collecting the data because our issue is wanting to make sure that we are providing the resources that survivors need and not making the assumption about what we think they need. And, of course, lastly, what we're doing is also starting our campaign with Megan Mockery of Goodness Gracious Cookies. So we will be having a cookie campaign going on, and we ask that you reach out to us by email at info@wianl.org. Again, that's info@wianl.org. You can, of course, find us on Facebook. Our website is being updated as well, but we're available all sorts of social media outlets. And our phone number is 901-466-6182. And, of course, you can always go back and listen to the replay, and we will share the replay of this broadcast online. And you can always come back here and listen to any of the past replays that we've had. So thank you, Captain Cobb, for being our special guest. Thank you, listeners, for continuing to tune in and support our efforts. We look forward to having you join us again next week. I am your gracious host, Joyce Kiles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and this has been another broadcast of Boots on the Ground. Thank you so much.